Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. Oh, Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success, say success.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyid al-Musaleen. أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله. There are many blessings in reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. Whenever you come to a gathering of Dawah Islam, they give you these blessings. And there's a reason for this. The intention in this is that by becoming aware of the blessings of reciting Durood e Pak, you become habitual in reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. Secondly, you remember these blessings. Thirdly, you pass these blessings on to others as well. And hopefully, inshaAllah, everybody that you pass it on also become habitual in reciting Durood e Pak. Today's blessing is such that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam is reported to have said, Allah Azza wa Jal sends 10 mercies upon the one who recites Salat upon me once, and an angel is appointed to convey it to me. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu. Now, in this particular hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that 10 mercies will be given to you. And we don't understand the value of 10 mercies. You know, some of our pious predecessors, when they've written poetry, they said, Allah, if only one mercy, if one drop of your mercy fell on us, then inshaAllah we will be successful. And here the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying 10 mercies. If 10 mercies fall upon you, then inshaAllah you'll get this as a result of sending Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So please make a habit of sending salawat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You don't have to put time aside for it. You can be traveling to work, traveling to college, waiting for a customer. You can be a taxi driver waiting for your next job. You can be a takeaway worker waiting. Any business that you've got, you're waiting. We have this waiting time in our life. And as Muslims, we don't have time to waste. So whatever waiting time we have, it should never be wasted time. And when we are traveling, we should utilize that time as well. And one of the best ways is sending Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And who knows, that one extra Durood e Pak that we recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. So please make good intentions that we're going to make it part of our daily routine to send salawat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of my channel, is narrated that a famous king, Sultan Mahmud Ghaznavi rahmatullah ta'ala, he was also an Islamic scholar as well, and he would offer salah, fast, and he would constantly recite the Quran and spend his entire life in complete accordance with the Islamic teachings. Apart from his courage and his bravery, he also had this love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he also had a slave called Ayaz, who himself had a son named Muhammad. And Sultan Mahmud Ghaznavi rahmatullah would always address him by his name. One day the king did not do this. Instead of saying Muhammad, he addressed the boy by saying, O son of Ayaz. Instead of calling him by his name, he said to him, O son of Ayaz. Hearing this, Ayaz began to think to himself that the king must be upset with me. Why is he not addressed me by my name? Why is he calling me, O son of Ayaz? And he said to the king, Your Highness, what have I done wrong? What have I done wrong that you're calling me by this? You've never called me like this before. Listen to what the king, Sultan Mahmud Ghaznavi rahmatullah, at that time he said. He said, out of respect for the name Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I did not say your son's name without wuzu. As I was not in wuzu, when I called upon him, it was not benefiting for me to bring this blessed name to my lips at that time. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. This again is a sign of love. We're talking about love, respect, reverence. This also is a sign of love. That these people, they would not even put that name on their lips if they were not in a state of wuzu. And this again shows the respect and reverence that they had. It is stated, my dear Islam brothers and viewers on the channel, that the Messenger of Allah, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had countless names. The scholar Muhammad Mahdi Fasi Maliki rahmatullah said that Allah Azza wa Jal has 1,000 names, and so does the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ibn Faris, a notable linguist scholar, He also adds to this discussion by saying that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has over 2,000 hallowed names. Each of them illustrated a part of his biography or a various character in one way or another. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullah ta'ala, he also sheds light on this beautiful topic, and he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has two personal names. His name is Ahmad in previous divine books and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran. In terms of his names which correlate to his qualities and attributes, these are countless. And each one of these names that was given to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were about his character. That he was the kind one, he was the honest one, he was the truthful one. And each one of these shows the status of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need to, as people who claim to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we need to understand his status. We need to understand the status of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then inshallah azawajal, we can come closer to loving him. There was a famous incident that took place in the 6th year of Hijrah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was in the city of Medina, and they traveled to the city of Makkah Sharif, and they traveled with the intention of performing the Umrah, and there were 1400 companions with them. And the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he thought to himself that the disbelievers of Makkah, they would try and stop him from performing the Umrah. And for this reason, he sent a person from the tribe of Khuzayb to Makkah to find out what the disbelievers were talking about. And when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions reached a place known as Usfan, the person sent by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned and explained that how all the Arabs had gathered together and decided not to allow the Muslims to enter Makkah at any cost. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then had his companions down a different path. They went down a different way in the hope that these people would come out this way and they'd go this way. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he found that the disbelievers of Quraysh, they were preparing to take up arms against the Muslims. They had got the weapons ready, they got all of the things ready, they got the armor ready. Whereas on the other hand, the Muslims, they were in a state of Iran. They were not coming to perform any battle. They were not coming to wage war with anybody. And taking this into consideration, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided to send someone to Makkah Sharif so that he can discuss the terms of a peaceful truce with the people there. Because the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, they did not come to start a battle. They were not in battle attire. They were in Iran. They came for Umrah. So realizing the situation, he decided to send somebody to speak to the people of Quraysh and try and defuse the situation. And he sent Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, the third of the righteous Khalifas. He sent him to Makkah. And when he went there, the disbelievers, they respected him because he was a very wealthy person. He was a very honorable person. And in past, before he'd accepted Islam, he did a lot of help and he helped them a lot. So what they said to him, that you have come here now. You are here now. Why don't you perform the Umrah? You're here now. We're not going to let anybody else perform the Umrah, but because you are here, we respect you, we'll let you perform the Umrah. And he completely declined this. He said, I can never perform the Umrah without the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he returned to Hudaybiyah, and the companions welcomed him. Perhaps you have the honor of performing the Tawaf. You know, like people come back from Umrah and you give them congratulations. They started to give him congratulations because he had performed the Umrah. In a display, these words have gone down in history. In a display of unshakable love and loyalty, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani replied, he said, I take an oath by the one who has power over my soul. If I had stayed in Makkah for an entire year, but the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed in Hudaybiyah, I would not have performed the Tawaf of the Kaaba unless he had done so first. The Quraysh offered me to perform Tawaf, but I refused. This again shows you the respect and reverence of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that his companions had. He could have done it. He could have performed the Umrah. He was there. The Kaaba was close to him. But no, out of respect for the Prophet of Allah, and that is something that we need to learn. We need to learn this respect for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this treaty of Hudaybiyah, when it took place, again, people have done whole theses on this, written whole books on this. The amazing events that took place. It is stated that there was a companion there, Sayyidina Urwa bin Masood. And at that time, he was not a Muslim. When the people had gathered at Hudaybiyah and the treaty took place, he was there and he saw things that shocked him. He said, I take an oath by Allah. I have taken many delegates into the courts of numerous kings. I have been to Caesar, the king of Rome. I have been to Kisra, the king of Iran. And I've been to Najasi, the king of the now defunct Aksum kingdom. Yet I take an oath. He said, I take an oath by Allah Azza wa Jal. I've never seen a king respected as much by his followers compared to the extent that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was respected by his companions. He goes on to say, by Allah, whenever he would cast saliva out of his mouth, his companions would ensure it came to their palms. They would then rub it on their faces and bodies. Whenever he issued an order for them, they would immediately accept it. Whenever he made wuzu, he seemed as though the companions would come close to battling one another just to attain the water he used. Whenever he spoke, they lowered their voices. Out of utmost respect, reverence, and manners, they'd never raise their voice, their eyes, to look at him fully. Another incident was also reported by Abu Juhayfa radiallahu anhu. He said that I saw Bilal radiallahu anhu with some water used by the messengers of Allah for wuzu. The companions, they ran to acquire some of it. Whoever acquired even a little bit of it began to rub it upon their faces and their bodies. Whoever was not able to get water directly, they took hold of those hands that had the water on them. So the companions, they got the water, they rubbed it on them. And the companions, they went up and grabbed hold of that person's hand. This is love. This is respect. And something that they mentioned there, they mentioned that whenever the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam issued an order, they would run. They would run to follow it, run to obey it. I'm just going to pause here for a second. Because today we're talking about the reverence, the respect of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we've also heard here that the companions, that if ever they heard the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam issuing an order, they didn't think twice, they just did it. If the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, run into the battlefield, they ran into the battlefield. But look at us. Look at us. Has the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not ordered us to pray 5 times a day? Has the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not ordered us to fast in the month of Ramadan? Has the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not given us many other orders as well? We make this claim that we love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're willing to die for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You may hear these people making these slogans when they go on the julus that we'll die for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're willing to die for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but you're not willing to get up for Fajr. You're not willing to read your namaz. You commit all sorts of sins. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is aware of what you are doing. And some of the scholars, our pious predecessors, have said that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is aware of the state of your heart as well. How embarrassed, how ashamed should we be that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through all them struggles and strives. You know, when he went to Taif to spread the deen of Islam, and what happened there, the people of Taif, they got the children to get out with rocks and they threw rocks and stones at him. To the extent that the blessed blood of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out of him, and he did all this for us. Where do we stand? Nowadays, when the brothers say, travel in the way of Allah, go on a Madani Kafla, are we met with stones? Are we met with swords? Are we met with spears? No, we're met with flowers and food and all sorts of things. It's so easy now. It's so easy now. What is our excuse? What is our excuse? The masjids in the past 1400 years ago, they didn't have running water. They didn't have AC and heating and lighting and all these things that we have got now. They didn't have the soft carpets that we've got. Maybe we become soft. Maybe we become soft. Not just physically, but our iman has become soft. That now it's so hard to come to the masjid for Fajr. It's so hard to read our namaz 5 times a day. Whereas the companions, Allahu Akbar, is stated in the Battle of Uhud, when the enemies started to attack the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they put the bodies in front of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They stood there and let the spears hit them, let the arrows hit them, they let everything hit them. Why? Because they were protecting the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now we claim that we love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We claim that we follow the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We make all these claims, but do we? And you know, when you read about the lives of the companions, when Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he said to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I love you more than everything else except for myself. I love you more than everything else except for myself. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at him and said that your iman is not complete, your love is not complete. And he pondered for a while and he thought for a while. And he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I love you more than everything including myself. And then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, your love and your iman is complete. Do we love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do we respect him? Do we follow him? And you know the companions, when they said it, I can say it. I can say, yes, I love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I can say that. But do I really mean it? When the companions said it, they meant it. And they proved it. Because they sacrificed it everything. They went out into the battlefields. They gave all of the wealth, they gave all of the time, they gave everything. They didn't care about anything. You've all heard of the event where Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, half of the wealth that he had, he spent in the way of Allah. He said to his companions, now today we need funds because we're going on an expedition to Tabuk and we're going to spread the deen of Islam. We need some funds. And on that day, the companions that competed, they competed with each other, not in the way that me and you compete, in who's got the biggest house, who's got the biggest car, who's got the most money, who's got the newest phone, who's got the newest PC tablet. No, they competed in who is going to please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the most. And on that day, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he sacrificed half of his wealth. And on that day, Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, on that day, every single thing he had in his house, including the buttons, he gave in the way of Allah azza wa jalla. And he came to the court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a cloak that was made of that kind of material that you have, that you see sacks of rice in. Yeah? Them sacks of rice, that sack material. And he didn't have any buttons and he had thorns gathering it together. And when he was asked that, what have you left? What have you brought and what have you left behind? He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everything I have brought here. And for my family, I've left Allah and His Rasul. And that is all that I need. Nowadays when we ask for people to spend in the way of Allah azza wa jal, we'll give £5, we'll give £3, and what we'll do is we'll look in our pockets and find them coppers that are making a hole in our pockets, and that's what we'll put in the masjid. When it comes to having a takeaway, we'll spend £20, £30, £40, we don't care. When it comes to getting trainers or a jacket or something like that, £100, £200, we don't care. But when it comes to spending in the way of Allah azza wa jal, we'll find those coins that are hidden down the bottom of our sofa, that are in our car, that we can't use, that are causing problems, put that in the masjid box. I'm not saying don't have that car, have that house, have all them things. I'm not saying this. But at the same time, we need to understand to spend in the way of Allah azza wa jalla is something that we need to do as well. And we see, coming back to the topic of the day, we were talking about the respect and reverence of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you look throughout history, all of the companions, all of the successors, all of the Islamic scholars, all of the saints, and every single Muslim in history has been ordained, and they've shown throughout their lives the respect that they have done for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this will continue. Insha'Allah azza wa jalla, this will continue. Allah azza wa jalla says in the Quran, we have indeed sent you, O beloved, as a present eyewitness and a conveyor of glad tidings and a warner, in order that all people, you may believe in Allah and His Messenger and honor and revere the Messenger, and you should glorify Allah morning and evening. Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us. Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us to honor and revere the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The famous scholar Qazi Ayaz, rahmatullah, he said that Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded people to show respect and reverence to His Prophet, and He has declared this to be compulsory. It is compulsory upon us. And the jurist Jalaluddin Ahmad Amjadi rahmatullah, he further goes on to say, he said the command issued in this verse, which ordains for us to respect and revere the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, does not only say showing this respect is permissible, but it actually makes it necessary upon us. Every Muslim has to do this. So my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Middle Channel, we need to learn about the respect, because in our deen tells us not only to respect the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we are told to respect our elders. To respect our elders, our uncles, our aunts, our mother, our father, our paternal aunts, our paternal uncle, our great aunt. Our deen teaches us to do this. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that he who does not respect his elders and does not show mercy to the young, he is not from us. Our deen teaches us this. To respect the elders, to show mercy to the youngsters. And if our deen teaches us to respect our elders, then what about the respect of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Without a doubt, it is there. Therefore, we should have mercy on the young, we respect our elders, but also we need to understand that respecting the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is something that we need to do as well. And you know, shaitan, he will try and convince you that why do I need to respect the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why do I need to give him this status that you're talking about today? Why do I need to do this? Well, I've told you already, Allah is telling us. But these shaitanic whispers are there, and remember, it was the same shaitan. He refused to prostrate to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam when Allah ordered him. And as a result of him not giving Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam the respect that he was due, at that time the order was to prostrate. Because he did not give him the respect that he was due, he became the accursed one forever. So if we don't respect the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is going to happen to us? Sallu ala al-Habib. With regards to performing sajda, one thing I want to make clear here, that at that time, Sayyidina, at the time of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah azza wa jalla ordered shaitan to prostrate. But now we cannot prostrate. We should not prostrate in front of anybody. And an incident took place where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with some of his companions, and a camel came. A camel came, and the camel prostrated before the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the companion said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, animals and trees, they prostrate before you. Animals and trees, they do sajda before you. We are more rightful to do this, let us do this. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, worship your Lord and respect your brother. If I were to command anyone to prostrate before anyone other than Allah azza wa jal, I would have commanded women to prostrate before their husbands. And so here we are told that we are not allowed to prostrate before anybody. Not allowed to do sajda before anybody at all. And so this respect, if you look at the scholars of the past, their respect was such that even the name Muhammad, as we mentioned early on, even the name Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would give that the respect. If it was written on a piece of paper, they would make sure it was in a place of respect. And respecting and revering the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is part of our iman. Our iman is not complete unless we love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have the kalams, we have the naats, we have the jalooses, we have all of these things. All of these things are food and nutrients for that love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're there to develop. There are means to an end, in the sense that all these are part of those things that will help you to develop that love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we should never say to ourselves, well, my love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is complete. That's not possible. You know, the same way that you have a beautiful flowers, you know, a tree that has red roses and beautiful roses, and you think, well, this tree is now perfect. It doesn't need any water anymore. It doesn't need any nutrients anymore. You stop putting water on a beautiful tree, it's going to die. That tree will die, that fruit, them roses, they will dry up. In the same way that we need to constantly fill ourselves with those things that can develop that love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Read about him, listen to the kalams, develop that love, be part of the kalams, try and understand the kalams, and all of these things are there to fulfill that need inside ourselves that we need to develop that love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is stated that after iman, actions of respect and reverence for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam hold higher importance than every fard. Sayyidina Ali, in one station, what happened was that after the Battle of Khaybar, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was returning, and he offered Asr Salah. After this, he placed his blessed head on the knee of Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. And Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu had not offered his Asr Salah yet. So imagine the situation: the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had offered his Asr Salah. He came and let down and put his blessed head upon the blessed knee of the famous companion, his son-in-law, his cousin, the fourth of the righteous Khalifa, Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, and he went to sleep. Now Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he's got his salah to do, he's got his asr namaz to do, yeah? He's got to read his namaz is farz. He's got to read his namaz 5 times a day, he's got to read his asr namaz. So what did he do? Did he wake up the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Look, my asr is going, yeah, go and lie down over there, let me read my asr. No, he didn't. He remained there. He let the asr time go, he let the sun set. And when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam opened his eyes, he realized, he looked at him and said, Ali, what has happened here? And he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are resting. And because you were resting, I didn't feel appropriate for me to wake you up. But as a result of that, I've missed my salah. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered the sun to come back. Ordered the sun to come back, and Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he offered his salah. What is this? What is this? These are the signs of those people that love. They don't have any logic. You know, nowadays we misunderstand this, we misunderstand that. If we can't understand that, we won't do it. The lovers, they don't need any logic. And these companions, when they loved, they didn't think. They just followed. They just obeyed. They just copied. They did whatever the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. They tried to copy it. They tried to emulate him. They tried to follow in his footsteps. And the pious people of the past have said that if you want to know whether you love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not, they've given us the criteria, they've given us the recipe if you want. They said that you must obey his orders, follow his footsteps, observe his sunnah, love the people who love him and hate the people who hate him. And if you do that, then you can claim to be a lover of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But respecting, again we keep on talking about the respect that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. And it references in Kitab al-Firdaus, the Allama Shami rahmatullah quotes the hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that I shall lead whoever kisses the nails of his thumbs after hearing that name during the azan, and I shall include him in the rows of paradise. And once someone asked Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullah regarding this, and he said that we should most definitely kiss our thumbs when hearing the name of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Scholars have even declared this to be recommended mustahab during azan. Kissing of the thumbs during azan has also been described in the hadith. However, we cannot listen to this. We cannot kiss our thumbs. Again, a lot of people do this. We cannot kiss our thumbs upon hearing his sacred name in three specific circumstances. One, when we're offering our salah, when in the name and during the salah you mention the name of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you don't kiss your thumbs there. When during the khutbah is being taking place, when the Imam is doing the khutbah, and also when you're reciting the Quran, if you hear the name Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you should not kiss your thumbs at that time. Allahu Akbar. And again, when we give the name Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should give it the respect to the people as well. But another aspect of the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his sayings, his hadith. That the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith, what are the hadith? They are the sayings of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the pious predecessors, they would give a lot of respect to this. It is stated that one of the companions, it is narrated that when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would speak, the attendees, they would lower their heads as if birds were upon them. And if you look at the people, I'll give you a beautiful example that I read about this, and I was amazed at this. You know Imam Malik rahmatullah, we've all heard about Imam Malik rahmatullah. It stated that when someone would come to him with a question, with a query, and they knock on his door, he would send his maid out. And he would say, go and ask them, are they asking a fiqh question? Are they going to ask a shari question? Are they going to ask about a hadith? Now if they were going to ask a shari question, a fiqh question, he would immediately get up, come out, and he would answer the question. But if they were coming to ask about a hadith, he would say wait. He would go and perform ghusl, put on clean clothes, put on some itar, get himself ready. A special chair would be put outside, and he would go and sit on that chair and say, right now ask. Why? Because now you're asking me about the words of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is just amazing. You've all heard the word, you've all heard about the Imam Bukhari, the person who wrote Sahih Bukhari. When he would write the hadith, and you know in the books of hadith there are more than 7,000 hadiths in that book. But before he wrote any one of them, what would he do? Two rakat nafal. Two rakat nafal before he wrote any one of them. And he took it upon himself after seeing a dream to go through every single one of these hadiths and make sure which was sahih or which one was not. And he reduced it down to over 7,000 hadiths. And when he wrote them, before he wrote every single one of them, he would do two rakat nafal before every single one of them. This shows us, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Malaysia, that this is the respect that they had. We need to develop that respect inside ourselves. We need to develop that love inside ourselves for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You attend these gatherings, you hear about the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Try and make a change inside yourself. Try and make it realize that all these people that have these shaitanic whispers that are outside, that are telling us we don't need to do this, we don't need to do that, these are all pulling you away from the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And anything that develops that love inside you is permissible. Anything that will develop that love inside you is permissible. You're going on the julus, it develops that love. You're going to the mafil milad, it develops that love. All of these things develop that love inside yourself. So please make a habit of attending the weekly ishtamas of Dawah Islami. Please try and learn to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He should be loved. Try and respect him as he should be respected. Learn, read about the companions, how they loved. You know, we know that loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is part of our iman, but do we know how to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I said the other night when I was here, he had this authority, he had this status, he had this maqam. You know, when I give you the blessings of reciting through the Pa'ud, you need to ponder over them. That the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying this, that if you recite salawat upon me, the blessing of through the Pa'ud that I give you, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, if you recite salawat upon me, Allah Azza wa Jalla will shower you with 10 mercies. He has this authority to say this. And there's so much more. So please, my dear brothers and viewers of my channel, please take it upon you to learn about the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Read a seerah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Read about his life, read about his sacrifices, read about his companions, how they love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, we'll see a change in our lives. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah first and foremost give me the ability to think about what I've said, to act upon what I said, and to pass it on to others as well. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla give you also the ability to think about what I've said, to act upon what I've said, and pass it on to others as well. Ameen bi jahin nabi al-ameen. Sallu ala al-habib.
O Mubalik for you.